The Lord is good.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good. And there's so many things going on the earth today. And last week we talked about the seals. So some people are afraid to read the book of Revelation. Some people don't understand it. It's too hard. But the Bible says if you read it, you're blessed. So you need to read it. So there was only one worthy to open up the scroll, right? There was just one worthy. And that was the Lamb of God, right? He is the only one worthy to open up the scrolls. So today, we want to move into the trumpets. And so the seals were like, it was over a course of time, but they were like, boom, 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 boom. They were just happening, right? It's not like over a long period of time. It was consecutively going on in the seals. And so today, we're going to go to chapter 8, and we're just going to read, because what we're going to do is we're opening up the Word. Opening up the Word is good, right? And we talked about this last week, is when the first church, that's what they did. They opened up the Word, and then they shut the Word, and they began to bring revelation about the Word. And that's what it's supposed to be, is so you understand and learn about the Word of God. So let's just go. I'm going to go to chapter 8, where we kind of left off. It was in 6, but we're going to go ahead and read that again, and then move into the trumpets. When he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half hour, right? Women hadn't made it there yet. That's not as good as your joke, right? I know. He told me to do it again. Yeah, he told me to do it again. I know how you girls are. Anyway, let's go on. And I saw the seven angels. I talk a lot, don't I? I do talk a lot. Verse 2. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it into the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and earthquakes. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Then it goes on, the first trumpet of hesitation is struck, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Listen to me. You're not here. Okay? This is for your friends. This is for your friends. You're not here. If you're a believer in Christ, you're not here. This is tribulational stuff. Friends and family. This is where the church, we as a church, we need to get on the outside. We need to get out and witness to the people around us, the ones that don't know Christ. Most of the time what you see, people coming into the church are not new believers. They're people that go to different churches because they're hurt from the church they were just in. That's the truth. A small percentage of new converts come into the church. Small percentage. Or it's the prodigal sons and daughters that were raised in the church, right? Found, like me, raised in a church and then walked away for the 10, 12, 15 years, whatever it was, I walked away. I knew God because I was rooted in Him. But I didn't live for Him. I had grace, but it didn't matter because I wasn't surrendered to Him. And so my life was going in a different way. Same with some of you. There's prodigal sons and daughters out in the earth today, out in our sphere of people that we run with, that have been raised in the church maybe till they were 10, maybe till they were 12. You know, family splits, marriages break apart, families quit going to church, whatever it is. Kids get on drugs, kids begin to do things, and they go wayward, and they do different things. And so these are the people that we want to bring into the churches. These are the people we want to bring into the fellowship, because they are going to go through these things. This ain't an easy thing. This is going to be hard for those people that go through this tribulational period. That they're going to want to die. These are our friends. These are our families. These are the people that we know close to us that don't go to church. Are you evangelizing your friends? Are you evangelizing your people? How do we do that? We don't scare them with the word of God. We love them into the kingdom of God. We say that you're a one encounter away from the Most High God. You're one encounter away from changing your life. And you know what? God is so faithful. When you lay your hands on those, when you begin to speak the goodness of the Lord over them, they begin to be drawn into that. People that go through marriage problems that are not saved, you bring them into that place. You want to get your marriage saved? Get before God. Both of you surrender to God. You got to surrender. You can't surrender together. You got to surrender by yourself. You got to surrender by yourself. And then you come together and put God in the middle of the marriage. I'm getting ready to do some marriage counseling. Some guy at work that's struggling. Austin kind of just, they said, hey, would you do it? Yeah, I was like, yeah, let's bring them in. They're not churched. But how do you do it? Bring them into the kingdom of God. Because otherwise they're going to face these things. These things are not false. Everything in this book is true. The things that are in this book are written for a reason. It's written for your life. So you can come to the knowledge of the Most High God. So listen to this. The first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. Listen to that. A third. That's quite a bit, right? If you got three parts, you got one part gone. God has taken away the natural things. What's it say? It says the trees burned up and all the green grass. That could mean vegetation. That means could mean that crops are burned up, right? That means there's no food. There's a third less of the food, third less of the trees. Let's go on. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Economically, worldwide, things began to change. Fish in the sea, things that you ate, die. Right? We're not here. These are the people that are still left. The Bible tells us that there is only, it's hard to get to heaven. It's hard to get there. Why? Because it's narrow is the way. Wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many will follow it. But narrow is the way that leads to life and everlasting life, and few will find it. Few will find it. That means the population of the earth is what, 8 billion people in the earth. Few of those 8 billion people will find the kingdom of God. Few of those people will find the kingdom of God. Lord, have mercy is right. Lord, have mercy upon them, because few of those people that we are not witnessing to, few of those people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because why? Because we are so, change my life, Lord. I'm messed up. I'm hurting. I got to get my life fixed up. But no, we got to spread the gospel, because one encounter with him will change you. So now we have the vegetation, we have the food, we have shipping and commerce going across the earth is less now. It's a third less. Then it says in verse 10, then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. That's not your spring. Your spring is blessed. But listen to this. It's a third of the water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood. And many men died from the waters because it was made bitter. Wormwood back in the day was, we can put this as spiritual bitterness in the earth. At this time, the seals have been opened. Now the trumpets are sounding consecutively. See, that's boom, 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 boom. They're just happening. Rampantly happening. The people of the earth are getting bitter because of what God is doing in the earth. They're getting mad at God, Chris. You ever been mad at God? He's not put this on the earth yet. And we're mad at him because he didn't let us get a car. We're mad at him because he didn't let us buy a certain house. We're mad at him because he didn't answer a certain prayer that we wanted him to pray, we wanted him to answer. We're mad, but these people are going to be mad at him because he's putting devastation upon the earth. Yeah, this is coming from God. It's a judgment upon the earth. It's to bring them back into a place to repentance. As Billy Joe is going to preach today. Repentance is where it's at. He's trying to bring them to a place of repentance. If you haven't repented today, you're going to want to repent then, but then you're not, because you're going to say, God, why are you laying this stuff on the earth? Okay, let's go on. Verse 12. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that the third of them was darkened, and a third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe is to the inhabitants of the earth, because the remaining blast of the trumpets of the three angels are about to sound. That ain't even nothing yet, is what he's saying. Nothing is nothing. A third of this and a third of that, a third of commerce, a third of the sea, a third of the streams. That ain't nothing. We don't have nothing to drink. We got a little bit to drink. There's going to be places around where people are going to repent for God. They're going to repent. Some people are, but very few. Because we know there's martyrs during the tribulation. We know that there's martyrs during the tribulation. If you don't make it and you're walking through this season, they're going to be martyred. What's that look like? You're going to die for your faith. You're going to die for your faith. That means, I don't know what that looks like. It may be cutting your head off or whatever that looks like. You can't fight it. They're going to know where you're at. They're going to know if you're a follower, because you're going to have a mark somewhere. I'm just going to briefly go through this real quick. The first trumpet. The judgment targets agricultural foundation of human survival, trees representing long-term resources and shelter, while grass represents immediate food for the livestock and for us. Trumpet two. The trumpet represents the collapse of global commerce, maritime trade, and marine life. Trumpet three. Wormwood is a profoundly bitter, toxic desert herb. In the Old Testament, they used it. Wormwood is a metaphor for spiritual bitterness, sorrow, and poison that results from idolatry and rebellion against God. This judgment poisons the very source of human hydration and spiritual purity, turning life-giving water into a vector of death. This is the stuff that people that we don't witness to are going to go through. Trumpet four is cosmic darkness, represents spiritual blindness, the removal of God's favor, and the collapse of earthly authorities. God is bringing this kingdom and judgment upon the earth. He's getting ready to bring his kingdom into the earth. And he's got to get dissolved the kingdom of the earth. It's judgment upon the earth. The fourth trumpet that systematically dismantles the physical system that supports human life. Remember what that one was? The fourth trumpet? Sounded, and a third of the sun was dark, was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them was darkened. The third of the day did not shine, and likewise night. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying in the midst. And he says, whoa, whoa, whoa. But this is a place. The first four trumpets show God's precise judgment, as only a third are destroyed. Listen to this. A third. Precisely a third. Why? God is a God that measures. He's a God of time. Right? He's a God that is perfection. That Jesus was crucified on the exact day he was supposed to be crucified on. He came into the earth on the exact day when it was time for him to come in. Right? Passover had been happening over and over and over for thousands of years, right? And then Jesus comes on the scene on that day of the Passover lamb. He is being crucified on a cross. An exact moment, exact time. There is an exact moment, exact time that he comes back into the earth. And he says a third of the earth, a third of the people, a third of the trees, a third of the marine life, people's not yet, but it's coming, are going to be destroyed. They won't have a chance. They won't have a chance. Let's go on. The angel in the heavens is flying across the heavens saying, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet and the three angels are about to sound. This is going to get worse. It's going to get worse before it gets better. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star falling from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, listen to this, out of the smoke became what? Locust. Came upon the earth, and to them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass. Right, there's two-thirds left. Not to harm the grass of the earth or any green thing or any tree. Two-thirds left. But only those men who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. What's the seal of God? Who are those men? We talked about it last week. Who are the men that get sealed with God? Remember? 144,000. 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. That's not the United States. That's 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. Do not harm those people that are going to be the witness to me in the earth. You will not harm them. God says, I'm still in control. Listen to this. During the Great Tribulation, when Satan is released to do his thing, God is still in control. He's allowing Satan to bring judgment upon the earth to bring repentance into the land. He's trying to get his children Israel back to a place of understanding that he is the king. That's what he's doing. Right? That's what he's doing. So the sealed, the 144,000, the 12,000, the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12,000 of each tribe will not be touched by these demonic beings. Will not be touched. But everyone else that is in the earth is going to be tortured and tormented by these things. It says, and they were not given authority to kill them. You're not going to be killed. These people, our friends and our families that go through this time, will not be killed. They will not be, they'll want to die, but they will not get to die. Listen to this. This is stuff, man. He won't kill them. But to torment them for 5 months. Listen to this. This is the one he talks about for a trumpet. It's going to be 5 months that this thing is going to go on. 5 months. 5 months seems short to us sometimes, right? Summertime is not even 5 months and it just flies by. 5 months during this time will be an extended and long period of time because it's going to seem like long because you're going to be stung by these things. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. You know, everybody been stung by a scorpion? You ever read about what happens to a person who gets stung by a scorpion? It's agonizing pain. Children and young people have to go immediately to the doctors because it could harm them. It says, in those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die and death will flee from them. The shape of the locust was like horses prepared for battle. Breastplates. Listen to this. Breastplates upon them. That means they're mighty. They're ready for war, right? It says, and on their heads were crowns of something like gold. The crowns. What are the crowns? Crowns were given authority in the earth. It's a short time authority in the earth. But they only have authority that God has given them. Because they cannot harm the 144,000 marked by God. But they're given a crown. Crowns are for victors, right? Crowns are for victors. Christ is going to wear a crown. But these have authority in the earth. Okay? These are demons that come out of the pit of hell. It says, and their faces were like the face of men. Intellect. Not only do they have demonic spirits, these things, these scorpions, they will have intellect. They will know how to torture you. It's just not like some bug that doesn't know. It just, there's gnats. Anybody get any gnats lately? You just like, oh man, them gnats are everywhere out in the country. Right? You can't sit out on your back porch wherever you're at because them gnats are crazy. Well, they don't know what they're doing. They're just hovering around you. These things will have intellect. They'll be cunning, calculated, and malice. They will understand how much you can take. They will understand your torment. I don't want to be here during that time. I don't want my friends and family to be here during that time. They had hair like woman's hair. Hair symbolizes charm, seduction, and beauty. People will look to them. Even though they'll be in wonder of them. Even though they're stinging people, even though they're causing torture in the land, people will look to them and it's like, whoa. Right? Whoa. I wonder if that's going to be like the aliens that they say there's out there, because, right, we know that they're fallen angels, right? We know that they're fallen angels. We know that they're not an alien. They're in a different dimension, but they're in this room as well. The kingdom of God is in this room as well. There's angels, angelic beings in this room you cannot see. They're in this dimension. Right? The people will look to them and be in awe of them. It's crazy. And their teeth will be like lion's teeth. They had a breastplate like the breastplate of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions. And they were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon. But the Greek, he has the name of Apollyon. Some people will say that Satan was cast out. Some people will say it's Apollyon, the angel that goes and locks the gate to the bottomless pit. But here it says that he is the king over this group of demonic spirits that come out of the bottomless pit. One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Verse 13, then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels. Release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. Have you guys been hearing about the Euphrates drying up? Right? Here's your portion. Here's where it's at. Here's where those angels are bound. Here's where they're coming from. You know, you're hearing this in the earth today that, oh, the Euphrates is dried up and they're finding things. You know, there's all kinds of stuff out there. But here's where it says, so the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. There's your third of mankind right there. They've already went through all this devastation, a third of the trees, a third of the ocean, a third of the tree, land, a third of the growing things, a third of every of that things, now a third of man. That means one third of your friends that are not saved are going to be here on the earth dying because of this. How many have unsaved friends? How many have unsaved friends? Probably everybody in this room has unsaved friends. What are you doing about it? I could quit right there. What are we doing about our unsaved friends and family? How many have unsaved family members? How many have family members that I think they are saved that are not surrendered to the King? How many believe that grace will cover everything? You don't live in a perpetual amount of grace. Does everybody know what grace is, right? Here's where grace comes in. I'll just use myself. I was raised in a church. God has his hand on my life. As a young boy, I veer away and walk away. Now grace, God has given me grace to walk away. God has given me grace to do the stupid things I did. God was giving me grace. Now when I come back to him when I'm 32, 33 years old, when I come back to him, his grace has abounded in me. I knew you'd come back, and now my blood is still going to do what it was going to do back then. My blood has never changed. Now all that grace that I was graced in, because it was grace. Right, Mom? His grace. Now if I go back and do those things that I used to do, do I have grace to live my life the way that way I did before? No. I have grace for the moment that he says, I knew you would come back. And my grace is sufficient for you. And my blood still does what it says it's going to do. It covers a multitude of sin. But when that blood is applied upon your life, that blood is over you, do I walk out and do the things that I used to do? Because there's grace in the land. This is the problem with churches. This is the problem with people. This is the problem with Christians is, oh, it's just grace. Do whatever you want to do. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay for me to slap my wife around. Is it? It's God got grace. Absolutely not. If I've been changed by an encounter with the living God, he gave me grace to have that encounter with him. I had grace that moment in Kansas City when we were there. It was about 10 of us. We were in Kansas City, and I had grace. The Holy Spirit came upon me in power that radically changed my life. I had grace for that moment. Now, if I walk away from the grace that God gave me and I start to live wayward, say I just pick up alcohol again. God's grace. His grace is good. Is it wrong to have one? No. But I know what one leads to. It's like, hey, you want to have one, Sean? Come on. Man, it's okay. God says it's okay. Grace is good. We got grace. We believe the Lord. We love him. He loves me. Man, just one. It's adult beverage. Come on. Just adult beverage. I don't want to linger there too much, but what I'm trying to tell you is we have friends and family that are out there that think it's okay. If my dad allowed me to do the things I wanted to do with no direction or correction, where would I be today? I wouldn't be here. I'd probably be dead. God gives you grace, but he gives you correction. He brings correction in your life. Why? So you can grow up to be mature. This is why he brings correction in your life, so you can be mature in him. The church doesn't want to correct anyone. We're afraid to correct people. When my dad corrected me, you think I liked it? I had to live with him because he was my provider. Is that right, Lori? Huh? He provided for us. Was you ever corrected? Karen was never corrected. She was like the angel child, right? But listen to me. If there is no correction and you can do whatever you want to do, what's the house look like? The Bible tells us that dads are supposed to be the mature spiritual leader of the home, that they're supposed to make sure their home is in well order, right? Sometimes it's in order, but when you use home, it's in order. But no, it was the structure of our home, right? The church is the same way, but we've got away from it because we got this grace message. You can go and do whatever you want. You can talk about me. You can do stuff. And it's grace. And I love you. You know what the Bible tells me to do? Repent. You know what the Bible tells us to do if we want a relationship with Christ? Repent. I can't get anywhere until I repent. Repentance is we talked about it last week. John the Baptist came about and said, repent! Repent! My friends and family, my church friends and family, if you're in a place that you're dealing with things in your life, you need to repent. You don't want to be here during this time. I don't know when the time is, but God's perfect time is coming. And it was closer than it was when they wrote this chapter in this book. And actually, it wasn't a chapter, it was a letter. But when Paul wrote this down, it is 2,000 years closer to the time of his return. 2,000 years closer to these things being put into the earth. As we watch AI and as we watch the things proceed into the earth today, we are seeing a rapid thing coming to the earth that we know the Word of God is coming true. We know it is coming. And we still sit on our hands. He killed a third of the mankind. A third of my friends, a third of my family. He killed them. Now the number of the army with horsemen was 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red. Hyacinth blue. That is a dark blue. If you didn't know, that's a dark blue. I didn't know what that was. That's a dark blue. And sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. You know, those colors are Eastern colors. They are an army that, I don't know if it's Muslim, but they're an army of them colored. These colors are going to come. It's I can't remember which ones they are, but green is not in here on this one. But a sulfur yellow has a tint of orangish, fierish red. And it says, and the heads of the horses were like heads of lions, and out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which came out of their mouths. Their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do not harm. But the rest of mankind who was not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, that they should not, listen to this, they should not worship demons. That means the people on the earth are worshiping demons, like I said earlier. They're worshiping demons. These many gods, you know, some of you read Omar, right? Is that what it is, Omar, and some of that stuff in your Greek mythology, demigods? Homer, that's it. Homer. And they were worshiping them then. We're going to worship him. People are going to worship him again. He said, because he didn't want them to, but they did. Let me find where I was at. 21. It says, they did not repent, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. Listen to me. There are going to be people in the streets killing people. and you people will walk by it. As they are being molested, as they are being raped, as they are being murdered, people will walk by this stuff. You're seeing it today. You're seeing it today. People are doing these, these videos, right? These, just to see what people will do. Social experiments, that's it. Very good, thank you. Social experiments, and people maybe beating on a wife or a girlfriend, and people just like, look and keep walking. I don't want no part of it, right? It's happening today. Do you see it in the schools, girls? People walk by things that happen. It's in the culture. It's in the culture. But it's coming into the land. I'm almost done. I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet was like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land, and cried with a loud voice as with a lion's roar. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. John was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders had uttered, and do not write them down, because there was so much in there. He was not allowed to write those things. Some things are a mystery. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, and that there should be delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seven angels, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. Then in verse 8 it says that, then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel, and he said to him, give me the book. And he said to him, said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I looked and took the book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it, and it was very sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, and tongues, and kings. Prophets rise up in this church. Prophecies begin to rise up in this church. Prophets rise up in this church. It's beginning to speak the word of the Lord. There has to be a word of the Lord spoken in the earth. There has to be a word spoken for people to repent. There has to be a word spoken from God. Listen to this, the two witnesses. I'm going to read 11 and we're going to be done. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. This is the court outside of the tabernacle. It's been given to the... They're going to build a temple. Okay, they're going to build a temple in Jerusalem. The outside of that, it will be given to the Gentiles to trample on. I gotta remember where I'm at too. But leave out the court which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread on the holy city underfoot for 42 months. 42 months. That's half of the tribulation period. And I will give power to my two witnesses. Who are the two witnesses? We're not for sure. Enoch, Moses. It could be Elijah and Moses. Nobody's really for sure. And they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees. Where are they going to do this at? In the United States of America? No, absolutely not. They're not going to do it in Europe. They're not going to do it in China. They're not going to do it in South America. They're going to be standing in Israel. This is where they're going to be prophesying from. These two olive trees, the two lampstands standing before God on the earth. And anyone who wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner, with fire. These have power to shut heaven so no rain falls. in the days of their prophecy, that they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. Listen to that. These guys, these two guys, are going to put stuff upon the earth. It says, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascended out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Where's that? Where was he crucified? Jerusalem. Then from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into the graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Crazy. What kind of world do we live in? What kind of world will it be that you won't be here in? Now, you might be. What about our friends? What about our families? What about the ones that think they know, that don't repent? What about the ones that want to say they're Christian but live like the world? What about those that have no surrender in their heart, that have no obedience in their life? What's going to happen to those? Verse 11, now after these 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and a great fear fell on those who saw them rise. And they heard a loud voice from heaven to them saying what? Come up here. Crazy. People are going to watch them. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. In the same hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell, Jerusalem. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to God of heaven. And the second woe is past. That was just the second woe. There's one more to go. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly, it says. Verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there was a loud voice in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on the throne fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and was and is to come, because you have taken your great power and reign. The nations were angry. Why are they angry? Because judgment has come upon the earth, right? And your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, shall small and great, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen, and his temple. And all there were, and there were lightnings, noises, and thunderings, and earthquakes, and great hail in the earth. Stopping there. How many think Revelation is interesting? How many want to be here during that time? How many want your friends here in this time? How many want your friends here? I don't care if it's this church, some church. Listen to me. There's people all over the earth hungry for the Lord. They're hungry for an encounter with God. Are we doing them a justice by keeping our mouths shut? Is it too hard for us to express the goodness of the Lord? But why isn't the world being saved then? Why isn't our city being saved? People are falling away from the church more so than they are coming to the church. We hear great revivals going on in the earth, and where are they at? Where's it at in Terre Haute, Indiana? Where's the great revivals? Where's the miraculous power of God in Indianapolis? Where's it at? Where's it at in Evansville? Where's these great mighty works of God being done and performed in the earth. The church building, we get so caught up of just singing songs and coming into the house of God, and that's great. But we do nothing with the things that we're getting. We're not branching out and bringing in the lost. We're scared to pray for the sick. We're scared to pray for people because maybe God won't heal them. It's not you anyway. You put it in God's hand. God, you told me to do, go out. It says go out in Matthew 28. Go out and what? Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Raise the dead. Anywhere in there did it say he? God? He said you go out. You go out. You guys are going to in college and going to be college and in college and you're going to see all kinds of stuff. I'm talking to you young girls. And anybody that's going to college eventually. You guys are going to see things in college. They're going to talk to you about things that are going to go against your mind. But they're going to indoctrinate you into a thing that makes it sound good. There's a standard. And if you don't read that standard, you're never going to know what is truth and what is not. If you haven't picked this up and read it, and I know some of you have, but this is for all of us. How do I know what is truth if I don't know the standard? Standard operating conditions. SOC. That's what it's called. SOC. The standard operating conditions of my life, of every life. If I go through a problem, David, the standard operating conditions are in here. It gives you direction for it. If you go through the same problem that I go through, it's the same standard of operating conditions in this word. It doesn't change. It doesn't levitate. It doesn't move. It doesn't venture from truth. Truth is truth. You can tell a false lie to your dad, or to your mom. I could tell a fib to my mom, and she believe it is truth. This is not to put you down, because you loved us, and you trusted us. That's the big thing. She trusted us. That we wouldn't do her wrong. We would always be that little 4 or 5 year old kid that told the truth. Right? Did you take gum from the store? The 1 cent gum. Remember that 1 cent gum? She made me go back and pay the penny. But when I was 15 or 16, it was, I smell alcohol on you. I've said this before. What did I tell her? Mom, this is the fake truth. I kissed a girl, she was drinking. That's how I got the breath, Mom. But that's the truth. Because people are gullible in the land. They want to know what is true. They want to believe that you're going to tell them the truth. Christians as well. The standard operating conditions are in this book. It's all through the book of how to live your life perfectly. Now, we can't be perfect because there's no one perfect except Jesus. So I leave you with this. What are we going to do about our friends? What are you going to do about your family? What are you going to do about your life? If you're living in a compromisal place, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to surrender? What would it be? Okay, let's just put it this way. The Bible tells us that every man, woman, child will stand before God. Do you all believe that? that every one of us will stand before him. If you stood before him today, right now at this moment, what would he say? He opens up the book of your life, right? The Bible tells us that we're going to be accountable for what? Everything. Every word, every action, and every deed. How I treated Joanne. How I treated Ralph. How I spoke to the stranger down the road. How I reacted to certain events in my life. Will I be accountable for those things that I did when I was wayward from God? What do you think? As far as the east is from the west, did I repent? What's his blood do? What's he say he does when you repent? How far? To the sea of forgiveness, as far as the east is from the west. So that means the things that I did in my wayward days, are blotted out of the book. I'm not going to be held accountable for those moments. But listen to this. Now I've got the blood applied over my life, and I'm living for him, maybe not in total surrender. Maybe I go out to the restaurant today, and I go and eat, and the waitress is not really, really good. And I ain't even tipping her nothing. She was terrible. And the Lord says, I made you a blessing to the world. I see Sean. Sean did something to me, and Tabby, you know what Sean did to me today? I can't believe him. I can't believe Sean was acting that way with me today. Then I start something in my, I'm accountable for those words. Why? Why am I accountable for those words? Because I've already repented of my life, blood has covered me, but now I'm acting out in my Christian walk, and I'm accountable for those things. Because what I did before the blood is washed. The Bible says it washes me clean. You stand before God today. What does he say to you today as the books are opened? How have you lived your life this last week? What have you said? What have you done that represents the kingdom of God? So I leave you with this. Repent. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Because if you would get in a car wreck today, repent. Because if you stand before God today, what's your outcome? There's eternity on one side and there's eternity on the other side. What eternity do you want to live? Fire? Torment? Party in hell, they say, right? Is that what they say? I'm just going to party in hell. They can have all that party they want. But there's everlasting life. Eating from the fruit that gives life. Drinking from the stream that comes from underneath the throne of God. That the fruit trees along the river are made for healing and healing the nation. So I leave you with this today, and it's not my will, it's God's will in your life. Where are you going to go today? If your book's open, what's written in that book today? How did you treat your friend? How did I treat my sister? How did I treat my nieces and my mom and my dad and my wife? How did I treat Sean today? I love you, man. How did I treat Ralph? How did I treat Roger? Good to have you today. That moment that we speak negatively, that moment if we have a negative attitude and our voices are on the negative side, and we can repent. But what's causing us to continue to do things we shouldn't do? What causes you to do things that you keep doing over and over even though we repent? What causes that in our life? What causes that in my life that I do the things I don't want to do and I repent? What causes that? Is there something I need to surrender to? So I'm going to leave you here. Repent, surrender, have an encounter with God. Because he washes it all underneath the blood. It's covered. Father God, we just come before you this morning. I just thank you for your heart. I thank you for John's letter to the churches. Because this letter is to the churches. It's for us today. It's words to be eaten. It's words to understand. Father God, I pray over this congregation. I pray over everyone in this room, Father, that if they are dealing with things in their life that causes torment, and it causes angst, it causes hurt, it causes destruction. Father, I pray, Father, that they will come to a place of understanding, Father, that surrendering everything, not holding on to things that we think we want to hold on to for anger, for this is who I was. And it's not who I was, it's who I am today. That I am in you. I was not in you then, but I'm in you now. How does my life change, God? My life changes forever because you live within me, Lord. So, Father, I pray that you do the same thing, Father, in me that you've done in me, Father, that you do in ones that need to surrender, need to repent, God, that they begin to chase after your heart, begin to chase after your will. Do it again, Lord. Father, we just thank you and give you glory and honor and praise today in Jesus' mighty name. The altars are open if you want to use it. Put some music on. If you wanted to be dismissed, you're dismissed. Just remember, we're going to meet at Walmart at 4:30. We're going to leave at 4:30 to go to Life of Love Ministry. If you want to go by yourself, Life of Love Ministry on your phone, Google it. It'll take you right there. Go up to Monrovia. Take a right. Go in through there. It'll take you right into the back roads into Martinsville. Easy to get to. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be changed. Be changed. Let your life and let your words change someone else. My friends need to know the Lord. My family needs to know the Lord. My son needs to know the Lord. Right? My oldest son needs to know the Lord. I pray for him every day. You pray for your sons, but not only pray for them, but you need to encourage them. I pray that prodigal son, my son, the prodigal one that has not really walked away but is not really interested in the Word. I pray that he is interested in God moving in his life and his family. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give God glory today.